Welcome to Rusak Gamers.
Hey gamers, real life mucked with gaming plans again this week. So we ended up recording another chat episode. Here's the deal though, we have new equipment. Our previous episodes have pretty much all been recorded with my laptop and a single omnidirectional snowball microphone. We now have a small soundboard and several microphones, and this chat episode gives those of us at the table a chance to get used to the new rig. We also have some listener feedback from both voicemail and email. And I promise, the next episode will have gaming. This is, after all, an actual play podcast. As always, comments, critique, and general feedback can be left in our voicemail, the SAC line, 502-4141-RU. That's 502-4141-766. Or send us email, roy@rusakgamers.com. Stop by our RPGCrosstalk.com forum. Just scroll down to the Rusak Gamer section. Listen to us on Stitcher. Just go to Stitcher.com, download the program to your computer, phone, or tablet, and listen whichever way you prefer. Enjoy the show.
Okay, so tonight we've got something. Roy has splurged, and he went out and bought some mics, microphones, and I had an old microphone that I'm using, and we got some stands with some. So we're almost
professional.
It's
looking.
Almost like a recording studio tonight.
We are far from being professional because that means we're actually getting paid for this.
Oh yeah, no, that ain't happening.
And also, Bill had some family stuff come up, and Joe had to work. So here we are with another talky episode. Maybe we could actually figure something to do. But start that clip.
Do what?
I said, but. That
it didn't clip too bad.
Okay, good. So what we've got tonight is we actually have voicemail.
Well, wow. No. Okay. Now here's the deal. We do have voicemail, but the voicemail, I'll insert it. Okay. In fact.
Oh hi, I'm Jeff.
Todd.
I'm Doug.
Jason.
Roy.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the deal about the voicemail. I'm going to insert
there's a
it.
Flaw in your.
Jeff can't find out he can't drink with the microphone.
The mic's too close to my mouth. I can't get. I'm going to need a straw for my bourbon.
You're going to have to drink or talk, one of the two, not both at the same time.
That's it. We're done.
I'll be in the kitchen.
I'll be the wisdom of Solomon. Split them in half.
If you can do two, you got a date.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to know either.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
so,
like Rajesh on Big Bang Theory, you know.
Can't talk unless he's drinking. Can't talk to women unless he's drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the deal with the voicemail. I tried to play it a little while ago for Jason when it was just Jason and I sitting here. When I've got this rig set up, I can't get any volume out of the computer. So I can't actually play the voicemail for you guys. I'm going to have to do it separately and then I'll put it back.
Why don't
in.
We do this?
So hold on. The voicemail is really short. It's, there's no, the guy
don't,
didn't.
Don't describe the voicemail. Why don't we do this?
No,
you can
well,
still
I'm just
insert
telling
it.
You. I'm just hold on.
I think you can still insert it. Why don't we just pause, take a break,
okay.
Then play it, and then we'll know what was said, and then you can insert it back in, and we'll act like we listened to it.
Okay.
Hey there, Sack Tappers. How you guys doing? Wanted to call and let you know you're doing a great job with the Dungeon World campaign there, and also I would really like it if you went back to the SAC line instead of having to be voice message. It just ain't the same. Thanks. Much love. Bye-bye.
Well, that's a great suggestion. I love that.
Yeah, the SAC line.
The magic of radio. and apparently, we wish, please give us some kind of heads up who you are. And I'll tell you what, if you want to send Roy an email, tell us, give us a mailing address. Maybe we'll shoot you a, I think that's our first official voicemail, right?
Second, we got one from a fellow podcaster at Mom's Basement.
Oh, okay, right. Well, he probably has one of our armbands, though, doesn't he?
I don't know if I've sent him one
armbands.
Or not. I don't think we do.
Yeah. Armbands? How skinny do you think this guy is?
What are you talking about?
Well, he's like 20.
You talking about the
the yellow ones?
The yellow ones?
Yeah.
Armbands. Wristband. Here on his bicep or what?
Wristband.
My God.
Todd's all mic'd up and he's a little belligerent tonight.
A little belligerent?
No, I'm not a little belligerent.
He's a big belligerent. So, no, but send us an email with his address, and why don't we'll send him a complimentary wristband for
sure.
For the great suggestion, and he can tell us what his name is or give us a call sign, and we'll give him credit for it. We'll give him an acknowledgement for naming it. We'll call it the sack line. I like that.
Yeah, pick a good
call
sign.
How tough it is. Our other three listeners, you know.
Come on, Mom, you can call.
Yeah. Get out of the basement.
Make sure you pick a good call sign, like Goose.
The other listeners that I know of, they've all got wristbands already.
Okay, well, tell you what, give us a voicemail. We'll give you another one. We got I'm laying in a pile of them right now.
Actually, we're starting to run out now.
I'm taking my pants off, and I'm laying in a pile of wristbands.
Little Asian kids worked hard to make those wristbands for you.
That's right. So, okay, what else?
We also, let's see, what else do I have on here? We had, someone named Marcus, posted to the blog, when I was doing...
You have to say viewer mail.
Viewer mail?
It's the mail sack.
It's the mail sack? Anyways,
I like
Marcus.
Mail sacks.
Marcus was letting me know that the.
You ever seen that Simpsons episode where they put Skinner in the in the dodgeball bag, and the gerbil gets out and his gerbil.
That's when
the gerbil's name is Nibbles, and he's sitting there and he goes, "Quick, Nibbles, chew through my ball sack." If I want to make my wife laugh, I just quick Nibbles chew through my ball sack.
Marcus. That's back to Marcus.
Marcus, sorry.
You're stealing Marcus's thunder with old Simpsons jokes. Anyways, I was running out of space on the website, so I had to back up all our old episodes. And for some reason, it wasn't propagating, and Marcus was helping me out with that. So, thanks, right. Marcus, for the feedback, and we really appreciate it. And it's all there now.
Can we send him a wristband?
Well, if you'd give me some contact information, yeah, I'd be happy to send them.
Send us. Don't post it on a board or anything. We don't want you getting...
No.
Because you're going to get swamped by people who are friends of ours, you know, fans, who want to know how to get in contact with us, how to get in in with us.
Roy, where's that bag I gave you the other night? The white one?
You know, with the powder in it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I asked you to hold it when the cop came by.
No.
Todd bought for everybody for Christmas, and due to some... problems, they just came in, but what are the name of the
Dragon dog? Child, DRAGONCHOW.com. It's a nice lady in somewhere in Canada. Please forgive me.
We'll put that in the show notes.
I'll put that in the show notes.
They are excellent. The little game bags, and just go on her site. You pay through PayPal, if I remember correctly. And yep. each of the regular bags holds, gosh, what can you fit in there? 100.
Are we talking about dice?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, well, yeah.
Well, when I got home.
I
tried it out, you know, tried it on.
No, but
everything
fit. You can fit
plenty
bunch
of
them in there.
Plenty of room.
And then there's tall ones, too, which holds.
Should have taken the dice out first, though.
And has a pencil holder, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, yep.
the tall one.
Tall ones.
That's awesome. one our other fellow got.
You can say his name.
Neil.
Neil. Okay, so.
So we've done Marcus on the board, on the blog, our unidentified emailer, a voicemailer, and we got email.
Really?
That's a big day.
This is huge,
this is
man.
A huge day. Massive. Put this on the calendar.
And it wasn't.
We need to name this. We need a holiday
what happened?
Or something.
I have no idea. I was excited because it was email from
we went viral.
It wasn't a prince in Africa. It wasn't somebody selling male enhancement or female enhancement.
I love it.
Actual email.
It's one of these forum comments. It's like, what an insightful comment. Yeah. You're very bright.
Oh god.
Check out my link.
We get spammed so
here.
Much on the blog.
Click here.
Yeah, it's because it doesn't have any kind of captcha to prevent people from posting, or robots from posting.
Oh, a cap what?
Captcha.
Oh, okay. I thought you said something else. Okay.
Scrambled letters that you have to determine what the hell it's trying to say and type it in.
They're called captchas. I hate those. Sometimes I can't figure them out.
Like, oh my god, so, I'm a Cylon.
Let me just read the email here.
Sure.
Do we have to pause so you can do it?
No. Why? Don't you think Robert would like to hear his email read?
Robert. Read email. All right. Let's hear from Robert.
Let's hear from Robert. Go ahead.
Okay. Robert says, "Hi guys. I'm trying to get my head around."
Hi, Robert.
You gonna let me finish?
Probably not.
Give him a couple more bourbons. He'll. I mean, he's already chatty Cathy now.
The great thing about this new board is I can just mute everybody.
Just kidding. I'm still here.
Hi, guys. I'm trying to get my head around Dungeon World, so I was searching for actual play podcasts and found the Brewsack Gamers a few days ago.
Sorry.
Yeah, we apologize.
I hope you're still searching.
I'm very much enjoying...
We don't want to put you off your chow.
He's so gonna get muted. I'm very much enjoying your Dungeon World playthrough. Your group is fun to listen to. I'm looking forward to Session 5, which will drop tomorrow.
Well, thank you, Robert.
I listened to the first four back to back, but now I have to wait.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, my. And you can blame some of these guys for that. That's
not blame.
Blame not showing up and, well, and then you can blame me for the next couple.
No, number five. He'll be able to listen to number five, but number six is when he's going to have to wait a while for him. More on that later.
Sorry, Robert.
I have some comments and requests. Would it be possible to link to an image of your dungeon map as it currently stands on the next episode show notes or add it to episode 86?
If we had one, you
the
could.
The explored area of the dungeon is getting larger, and it would make it easier to visualize the action if I knew how the various areas connect.
Yeah, Roy asked me about that earlier today. He told me about, give me a heads up on this.
Didn't we talk about this before? Didn't you say you wanted to post pictures and I told you no?
Well, yeah, you're very negative.
I am. I'm the parent of the group, apparently.
You can put them in Tumblr, or you can put them in Tumblr, and then from Tumblr you can put the link in the...
That could be if we had images. Here's what we're doing though. I'll be honest with you, I pulled some images off of the internet just to give me some ideas. Yes, I did.
It was porn.
Anyway, so but it's malleable. To be honest with you, as when we first couple of games, I had an idea in my head and just put it out there, and then I found a map to kind of match where we were going anyway. And I do have a map, but I can probably copy it over and post a version of the map, just a very rough version, kind of like the ones they do in Dungeon World. So you'll have an idea of where things are and what's going on. But yes, we can do that. When I have a moment of spare time, I will try to do that for you, Robert. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Okay.
Didn't we post pictures once for one of our Burning Wheel games?
Oh, we had
we,
on Obsidian
we did.
Portal. We've got.
Oh, did we leave it on Obsidian Portal and not bring it over?
Well, Witherscape. We built the crap
No, Todd's game.
Remember when we had the actual
the big
battle,
combat,
the actual combat in the middle of
that only he and Bill got to participate.
You remember
in.
That? Y'all were terribly, terribly bored.
I'm bored now.
I know.
Did you put up a?
No, I took pictures and I gave them to Roy because he said he wanted to put them up on the.
I don't remember if I did.
Yeah,
or
but
not.
What okay. does Robert doesn't care about that?
Well, I was just trying to make daggone, Jeff.
It's called a segue.
Robert's next point is targeted mainly at Jeff. Something I found incredibly
useful. Thanks for the homework, Robert.
Something I found incredibly useful for understanding how Dungeon World plays was the Guide to Dungeon World, and he puts in the link. It's cool. Mainly focused on GM advice, so Jeff might find it useful to give it a read.
What are you saying? I'm a crappy GM? Way to go, Robert. Thank
well,
you.
Yeah. He does.
Yeah, that hurts. You cut me deep, Robert. I thought we had something going here.
And we talked a lot about resolving bonds when people die last
time.
Okay.
And we got some.
So he gives us some input on that. He says, with regards to resolving bonds, the actual text of the end of session move says, choose one of your bonds that you feel is resolved, completely explored, no longer relevant, or decision about whether the bond is resolved only needs to be between the player with the bond. Did I miss something there? Yes, I did. Hold on. With regard to resolving bonds,
how much have you guys had to drink?
It's not had to drink. He just started learning to read today.
Oh,
yeah. No, he's doing very well. Sound it out.
Still getting used to, you know, the microphone setup here.
Oh, it's the microphone.
Oh, blame the mic. No. Oh, it's the mic.
I will.
I thought you'd be used to things in your mouth.
Oh. Anyways. The actual text of the end of session move says, choose one of your binds that you feel is resolved, completely explored, no longer relevant, or otherwise, emphasis his. That means that anyone with a bond with Morgan absolutely could consider those bonds resolved and get XP once he died.
But we're only talking one bond.
One bond.
Fair enough.
Also, nominally, by the rules as written, the decision about whether the bond is resolved only needs to be between the player and the bond, with the bond and the player the bond is about, not anyone else.
I'm the GM.
Mind you, yep. Canvassing the GM and the opinion of the table as a whole is a reasonable enough thing to do.
Oh, good for you, Robert.
So basically, Robert liked the way we handled it.
Well, thank you, Robert.
But his little rules clarification there is nice.
I think he's spot on. I'd appreciate it.
Exactly right. And his last point is because nobody else here listens to the podcast, right?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, okay.
I listen to the ones where I'm not here because obviously you all like to talk about me.
Yes, we do.
Well, of course.
So anyways, in the introduction and the outro for the last episode, mm-hmm. I asked for suggestions for a name for this particular adventure because I've just been calling it Dungeon World up to this point. So Robert gives a suggestion.
Hey, I like Robert.
I'm loving Robert.
Robert's,
yeah, because you know why Jeff doesn't have to think at this point. Somebody just tell me what I'm doing.
Wow.
Hey, yeah. I'm the same way.
So you want to get to Robert's suggestion now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bring the focus back to Robert.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Enough about you.
So, is everything going all right with you?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm cool.
Okay.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm
doing good.
Robert's suggestion for a name for this adventure is...
Roy, would you go ahead and get to the point and tell us what his suggestion is?
The Stolen Bracelet.
You know, is that his name? Is that
Robert's name, Robert?
Is that Robert's name, the Stolen Bracelet?
The Stolen Bracelet. Yes.
Actually, I did...
Actually, I thought of that 10 minutes ago.
No, on Obsidian Portal, I just kind of called it the King of Bracelets. For our own private place to just keep stuff.
Did you tell us you opened an Obsidian Portal?
I invited you, and nobody responded.
I think
he did. He did.
I know, a few people did. Roy's,
I didn't.
I might have. I don't know.
Check your spam folder, you nerd. So, No, but I think that's fine. The Stolen Bracelet's fine. I think, I don't want to talk anymore about it. Get back to us after you listen to episode 5.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, that would actually be a pretty good end to
it. It also goes to his map question. Yeah, at the end of episode 5.
Which will drop before this does.
So hopefully you'll get back to us and say, well, I'm not going to say anything else because spoiler alert. Go ahead.
You can't spoil something that's already come out.
Yeah, I'm dead. It's dropping tomorrow.
Because now we're in the future.
Yes, we're in the future.
Twice, right?
This is being recorded on the 30th. The episode is dropping.
I think so.
The episode five of Dungeon World is dropping the 31st.
Oh, well, that's awesome. Okay, well, here's the thing, Robert. Since they're no longer in the dungeon, the map will pretty much be done because they're not in the dungeon anymore. Spoiler alert for the players.
And we left the bracelet behind.
And they may or may not have the bracelet.
I really wasn't happy about that.
You wanted to find out what the bracelet did.
Yeah, I did, but I also wanted the
bracelet. Flash a light, clap of thunder.
Now you know.
Now you know.
It's a key.
Ooh, can I go back and steal it again? Or did it disappear?
Maybe.
Because if it didn't disappear, I'd like that option.
I have a feeling we're never going to see that dungeon again.
We haven't left it yet.
Yeah, and here's the thing. After episode 5, and then this will drop, hopefully we'll get back. I mean, we'll get back and play because I think the players want to know what happened, but I don't want to continue without having other players here. And since work's going to take me away for a couple of weeks, Robert, you're going to have to be in suspense, buddy, just like everybody else. Even me. I don't know what's going to happen because I'm too lazy. Right, Todd?
On the other hand, you're going to get to listen to a lot of episodes.
Yeah, I'll get to listen to a couple episodes when I'm not here.
I know lazy. I'm lazy. I know lazy.
We know, Todd.
Yeah.
We know.
I mean, the only no.
Ty,
the only,
we know. We,
the only
we know.
One who beats us is my brother-in-law. That's it.
He's professional lazy.
Yeah, he's professional lazy because he actually gets paid to do nothing.
Are there any openings?
Yeah. Are they hiring?
Are they hiring? I got a resume.
So I jumped on the fake Kickstarter before it closed.
Attaboy.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Let's talk about that real quick.
Woo! I'm excited about that.
They ended up getting over 425,000.
Yeah. Wow. Good for them.
It was like so over 10,000 backers.
And see, I would have put in more, but I don't want any hard copies of anything anymore. I mean, that's just.
Yeah.
And that's why I put in $15.
I am.
Woohoo! Hard copies!
I am excited about the $10 PDF deal, man.
It's $10 gets you like $120-odd worth of PDFs.
And for $5
can
more, you get the book.
That?
No.
Yeah. It doesn't get you anything now.
No. But if you had gotten in,
you can shake your fist in the sky.
Hey, look, they tell you when you do a Kickstarter, never do a Kickstarter for more than 30 days. This went on for 2 months, and he got $425,000 out of it.
Let that be a lesson to you.
And I think the original was only like 10 grand.
I think it was 3 grand.
Was it 3 grand?
I think it was 3
grand. It was pretty low. It was pretty low.
Yeah, that's... And I...
So what they do is they're gonna rewrite and... streamline a bit of Fate Core. Then they're also going to streamline even more and come out with a beginner game they're calling Fate Core Accelerated.
And also doing that for Dresden.
Yeah, that was the last book that came out was the Fate Dresden Files Accelerated. There's a magic system. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of individual settings. I forget, but I'm literally, before the Dresden Files stretch goal got unlocked, there was $110 worth of PDFs at the $10 level. If you got in at the basic $10 level, there's $110 worth of prizes. So, let's hear it for Fred Hicks.
Yay!
Yay!
Woo-hoo.
So who all have we mentioned tonight? We've mentioned Dungeon World, Dragon Chow, and the Fate System. What?
Dragon Child?
Chow.
Dragon Chow, yeah.
Dragon Chow dice bags.
Yeah. Who else are we going to mention?
Go ahead.
Margaret Weiss Productions.
What do they do?
On Twitter today and on Facebook, got Margaret Weiss Productions posted something that said, all I'm saying, or I'm just saying, and gave the link to the website. And you go there, and it's very stylized artwork that reminds one of the TV show Firefly. And it says, Shiny, 2013. So it looks like they're getting the license for Firefly now.
Awesome.
They did not have the license to Firefly earlier. They had the license to Serenity. They couldn't give you any information on Firefly itself.
So
they're
going to do that in Core?
Yeah, Cortex.
Cortex system.
Okay, let me ask you. You played the Serenity before, didn't you?
No.
Okay.
No, I played Cortex. I played the basic Cortex at Gen Con, and in 1 year I played Battlestar Galactica.
That's the push-ups.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even the nerds here laughed at the nerd.
Yeah. I got my 25% discount at the Margaret Weiss Productions booth. Hey.
So did I, and I didn't have to do a push-up.
Okay.
Show off.
Mm. All right, so they're doing Cortex. What else? And I'm kind of excited about the Fate system coming out because it would lend itself to podcasting the way it works.
Now, are any of us going to run it? Or are we going to try and make...
well, we can try and bully Joe into
We're going to have to bully Joe.
He won't do it. He's not going to do it.
Oh,
so disappointed in Joe.
Hey, you know what you ought to do? Really get Joe to do it? Tell him Phil's going to do it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
See?
No, just tell him Phil wants to play.
Look, yeah, I think that'll work. I definitely think that'll work. Oh, yeah, Joe's got a little Phil envy.
Mm-hmm.
Gen Con.
Gen Con, yeah.
Gen Con registration's open, room registration's open, and I'm really not happy about it.
What really disappointed with the room.
I like the Omni.
No. The Omni's a great hotel.
Well, let me be fair. Roy always handles our lodging situation.
Thank you, Roy.
And very much appreciate him doing that. But when you started on, what was it, Tuesday?
Tuesday.
When you started on Tuesday, I guess what do? You just throw your name in and they tell you what you're going to get, or how's that work?
You go to the Gen Con website. They got a link for housing information. And at noon, when you click on that link, the link to the housing portal becomes
mm-hmm.
live.
Mm-hmm.
Click on that portal and they dump you in a queue. So you get in line.
Is that new?
No. They started doing, the queue was there last year. I think it might have even been there the year before.
Do you, when it's your turn in the line,
yeah.
Do they give you, all right, here's hotel A, B, and C, or do
they
say,
you,
here's what you get?
Here, they give you, it starts off with a list of every single hotel, and mm-hmm. on the left-hand side of the page is search engine to trim it down.
Mm-hmm.
If you want rooms for one room, you can only search on one room, even though it looks like you can try and search on more than one room.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put in how many people. You can even use a little slider to see how far away from the convention center you want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit find, and then I know which hotel I want to go to, so I usually hit that as fast as I can.
Now this is a done deal. We're staying at the Omni, right?
Yeah, it's a done deal.
if that's the case, I mean, the Clotta is 50
right
yards
there.
Away, if that.
And I like the Clotta.
And then the Ram is right around the corner.
Ram's around the corner. And then, Scotty's is just...
Scotty's is actually...
Is on the other side?
Yeah, Scotty's is on the other side.
Go to the Clotta, turn left one block, and then right two blocks.
Yeah, and then you got to go up a block.
Isn't the Omni closer than the Marriott to Scotty's?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, then that's what I thought.
Well,
it's not like right there, but it's closer than the Marriott.
Well,
the Marriott's like a six-block walk.
No, but I mean, Scotty's is...
Stumble.
Six blocks. Yeah.
Well, it's two blocks... farther, but now we're two blocks further south, too.
One block.
Or is it?
Yeah,
no.
We're just one block off.
Yeah, we're a little further down from the convention center. Yeah. We're right across, because you just come across the street, across the plaza.
Yeah,
yeah, I
and
mean,
you
go out
it's
the,
not that bad.
You go
it's
out bad. The, to get to the convention center.
Oh, I know.
Right there at the front door.
Yeah, you go across.
You go out there's the side door that the Omni has. We cut through it several times last year, or at least I did.
Okay.
And you go up the area that they renovated for the Super Bowl last year, and
mm-hmm.
Gen Con 2012 is where they had all the food trucks.
Right.
Okay, so you just write down that block and a half or so, and you're right there at the convention
center.
Yeah,
in fact, it's if they have Gen Con in the same part that they had last year, then I think it's going to be a closer walk than the Marriott.
As close, if not a little closer, yeah.
Because
we
had to walk through the convention center just to get
mm-hmm.
to the floor.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is, though, is that...
There are a lot of games in the Marriott.
There's a lot of games at the Marriott.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and do we even know? Well, okay, so we mentioned Gen Con, Savage Saturday Night. We can go ahead and talk about that.
And that's not anymore.
Are they going to do it or not?
They're not going to do Savage Saturday Night. I think what they'll do is they'll spread out a bunch of games across.
Saturday or?
No, I think they'll do it across the whole time. What do you mean?
It kind of takes the fun out of Savage Saturday.
Well, it does,
but it also gives more opportunity to do different games.
Right.
But honestly, I really don't think so, because you're going to have the same number of players clamoring for the same games. They're just going to be at different times.
Yeah.
So,
well, it depends on how they run it. We haven't seen any more information, just the real basic thing that Pinnacle Games put up on their website.
I think they'll do right by us.
I think they're going to do a Savage Saturday Night. It just might not be... It might not be as big. I mean, last year it was that one ballroom, and it spilled out into another ballroom
mm-hmm.
because they were adamant on getting anybody in who wanted to play.
Yeah, and you know, and if more people get to play Savage Worlds, then the better off they're going to be. I mean, I got you know, I, whatever Shane says, it's fine.
Well, it's all good, man. We love Shane.
Yeah, whatever Shane Hensley says, we're good with. It's fine. Go ahead, do it.
And one other thing, Savage World related, the. Smiling Jack's Bar and Grill podcast has passed on to two other podcasters now. The husband-wife team has left.
Ron and Veronica.
Yeah.
Who'd they pass on to?
The other two guys that have been there with them the past few episodes.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, worthy characters. I mean, it's a fun podcast to listen to. I really enjoy it.
Maybe Roy will put a link in the show notes.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
What else? Been reading a really awesome book. Bought a copy for Doug for $1 on the Kindle.
Oh, did you?
Awesome. Called The Martian.
Yeah, you told me about it.
You need to read it.
It's just a quick read. I finished it in 2 days.
Well, okay.
It's 5,000 pages, though.
5,000 pages?
5,700.
On his phone.
Yeah.
It's like 300.
Okay, they're little tiny pages, but still, they're 5,000.
I have three words a page.
No, 20.
It's like 320 some pages, I think. 320, 340. Weir is the author's name.
Andy, I think.
Andy Weir?
Yeah.
W-E-I-R.
Mm-hmm.
Really good.
It was a really good book. I kind of feel like...
And for a dollar, it's great.
I didn't look up to see anything about him, but I kind of got the feeling he's an engineer of some kind.
He would have to be to do what he does. I mean, he's... Really, and that's why I thought you'd like it.
Yeah, it's good. It's really interesting.
So you're saying that you'd buy that for a dollar?
I would buy that for a dollar.
I'd buy that for a dollar all day long.
Buy that for a dollar twice.
This book, do you like Game Night? You haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it yet.
Have you been reading Game Night? You like
it? Yeah, I love it.
This makes me laugh more than Game Night does.
Yeah.
I mean,
wow.
It makes me laugh out loud every time.
You've been talking about
Game
Night a lot.
Yeah, and the Martian's funny. I mean, it's really funny.
Yeah, he's got a really good, real interesting sense of humor. The emails back and forth between him and Mission Control are hysterical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
When do you read? When do you have time to read?
Just before I go to sleep.
Do you really?
Like half an hour at night before I go to bed. Yeah.
How far have you gotten?
About 70% through it.
I think my favorite quote was when he was talking about being a pirate. Have you read that part yet?
I don't think so. I think the favorite quote is one of the people underlined. It's like, duct tape needs to be worshipped. It can be used in space or something.
Right.
It's funny. It's very funny. And for a dollar, you can't. I mean, it's a great book. There is nothing better than finding a Kindle book for a dollar.
Oh, yeah.
That is just wonderful. That's how I found. I mean, Wool was a little more expensive, but and the new installment of Wool's out. You told me about that.
Concludes the second part of the trilogy.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to start that as soon as I finish this. But Wool was great. Man of the Wasteland was pretty good.
It was good. When you first found Wool, you found it after it was already compiled into
the
five episodes. Yeah,
I read it after the
and
omnibus.
That was still less than $10.
I think it was like $4.99.
Yeah.
$5.99. Yeah.
So, I mean,
it was dirt cheap.
When it first started coming out, individual episodes of it was $1, $1.99, something like that.
Yeah. So it's really good stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of bargains to be had out there. So, especially if you're a Kindle reader, or go get the Kindle app and go download it anyway. But these guys write good books. They write good books.
Is it printed?
On e-ink, yes.
Yeah, I don't know that you could actually. I don't think you can.
Thank you, Roy.
I don't know if The Martian is actually out there in like hard copy form.
Wool is.
Or softbound. Wool is.
Or it's coming out.
Yeah, they finally. I think they got a publisher after the omnibus came out.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
Is this? Oh, this is The Martian.
And it. This is the
Wait
Wool
a second. This is 5,761 pages. I'm not reading this.
Okay.
Check out Moby Dick. See how long that one is.
War and Peace.
Crime and Punishment. Brothers Karamazov.
War. Good God, what is it good for?
Absolutely nothing.
Say it again. Yeah, that clipped.
Did that clip?
Just a little bit.
Really?
Not too badly.
That, that, that.
Jason, what's going on with you? I know I'm hogging the microphone over here.
You're doing fine.
Jason.
Say that again, Jason.
You're doing fine.
Yeah, Jason's still here, by the way.
He brought some delicious cheese dip thing over here that's probably gonna.
What are you reading, Jason?
Oh! Handouts.
Where's the handouts? I thought.
I haven't given them out. I gave one to Jason earlier. Because.
Been quiet reading this book.
Oh,
Jason's
okay.
Here. The next game we're gonna play.
Oh, we're not here.
No, you're not here.
You were late and Doug was later, and then when Jeff came
Did
in.
Did Jeff have one?
Jeff because
owns the book.
When Jeff came here, Jeff, we were doing microphones.
Yeah.
Remember when Roy opened up the spine and broke?
Yeah, that's why I don't buy real books anymore. It's all PDF. Roy can't break the spine of a PDF.
Oh, he can.
Let me see your Kindle, buddy.
Crack the screen.
Okay, so Jeff's going to be gone for... A
couple weeks.
2 weeks, is that it?
2 weeks. It may be only one, but probably two.
Oh, if it's only one, you might be able to join in the game and we'll run a game for...
That'd be nice.
Well, let's do that.
Three or four sessions. Well, it depends on, you know, how intelligent you people are.
Mm-hmm. Can we make a compendium when we're done?
So 5 minutes. Anyways, I'm going to be running these guys through Deadlands Noir, which, Jason's over there just laughing reading
it's
Martians.
Good book. Yeah, the Martians.
Did you just like start at the first page?
That's the end of the first page.
Yeah, it's greatest opening line ever.
Uh-huh.
I'm effed. It's like it's right up there with Call Me Ishmael.
It sets the mood for the whole book.
It sure does.
It does.
So,
did you mute me? Why'd you mute me?
No,
did you mute me?
No.
What'd you push there? You pushed a button.
Power button.
Power button. You muted me?
No.
Yeah, keep talking.
Actually, I don't have a mute button, but I can turn you all the way down.
It worked.
It sure did.
Where'd he go?
I'm back.
He's back. Anyways,
you missed me jumping up and down, waving my arms frantically.
Jeff's going to be gone for a couple of weeks, so I'm going to run Deadlands Noir for these guys first week, which will be the next episode. Todd, you going to be okay over there, buddy?
Yeah.
That KFC isn't sitting very well?
No, it's my back.
Anyways, we're going to run through some Deadlands Noir. Next week, we're going to get together and do character creation and see how far we get through that and start up on the mystery. I've been reading through the book, and the book's really good about teaching you actually how to do the mystery. And they've actually got a system where you can create a mystery on the fly just doing some – roll some of the dice.
So do you hear Scooby-Doo and Shaggy in the background the whole time you're reading
it? No, it's not that bad. Mm. No, actually, when you read it, you're like, yeah, murderers, yeah.
Well, is this Savage Worlds or what kind
it
of
system? It is Savage Worlds.
Okay.
It's Deadlands taken to the next era.
Okay, that's fine. I was just, the way you were talking about a mystery, I was thinking, well, are we doing, you know, like mystery on a ship or something
what? No, it's, the book is written from the standpoint that everyone is in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the 1920s, 1930s. So the focus is mysteries, murders, investigation, things like that.
Does it always take place in New Orleans or is that just where this one happens?
That's the default setting for Dead Nights Noir, New Orleans. Okay. So they focus all the background characters and everything on New Orleans. All
right.
Which is fun because before I got into all the PDF, I was coming up with some ideas for what you guys could run up against. And I'm like, ooh, serial killers. They're fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing some research on my own about serial killers in New Orleans, and it turns out that they've already got those serial killers. Oh, this one's cool. I think I'll put him in the game. And then I start reading the rest of the Deadlands Noir book, and they're like, oh, he statted up. Mm. Cool. So what I'm saying is, Jeff's looking at me weird. Doesn't come across on a podcast very well. So what I'm saying is, they do really.
For those listening at home, he's been this quiet that long because he actually left the room.
I ran out of bourbon.
Let's just say that the people at Pinnacle Games, they do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Did we mention that we like Pinnacle Games?
Yeah. Peginc.com.
Ding!
Don't take that out.
No, I'm not taking the ding out.
All right, so, Todd, what do you got going on? You run anything good lately, or done anything?
Well, no, wait a minute. Hold on a second. We need to get something from Todd, because remember last year at Gen Con, Todd ran a game. And he ran a burning wheel game. Yeah.
We need to discuss it.
He was excited.
I haven't seen him excited in years.
He was walking.
I was at his wedding. He was.
Yeah.
I left before the game was finished. Okay. I went back hanging out with the rest of the crew out in front
at
of the hotel.
At Deadlands Noir. Y'all went to.
No, it was even after that.
Didn't we post the podcast?
Yeah, we did.
We posted the post game.
The post game.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is I was sitting there in front of the hotel when you guys came walking back from it. Todd is like walking 3 feet above the ground,
mm-hmm.
smiling.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how great this game was. It was fantastic. He enjoyed running.
He
had
was
so
about
much
doing it
fun.
Again next year.
Not just rerunning the same game next year for a different group. He started talking about running Savage Worlds games
mm-hmm.
at Origins.
Mm-hmm.
To test them out.
Now,
get
now,
them ready for
get them ready for Gen Con. Now.
The show.
Now, Todd. Are you going to run any games this year?
Well, I'm thinking about running three.
Wait a minute.
All right.
Have you been tested?
Yeah.
I mean, have you seen somebody about this?
No.
Is there a name for what's wrong with you?
Mood swings.
No, the whole idea of it was that I wanted to run other games because I really enjoyed doing what I did last year and running the Burning Empires game, but it was... I mean, it's not any understatement in saying that it occupied every single second of my mind up until the time that I ran it. And it was a Saturday night, so.
Late.
So it was all the time. I mean, and we get there Wednesday, so I'm thinking about it Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. And it's, you know, you want to do something right, and it just occupies every thought in your head, and then it kind of gets in the way of you having a good time.
It changes the experience.
Well, it does. Yeah. And that's the only thing that I considered is that, you know, this is my vacation. Right? I mean, I have vacations with the family, but this is my vacation.
It's a mancation.
Right. So I have, you know, and sitting there. And
man-child vacation.
Geekation?
You know, and one of the reasons I was 3 feet high off the ground is that it actually went so well. So that's why I was sitting there going, you know, I can do this. And I don't mind running a game. I don't mind doing that. But if I was ever going to do anything at Gen Con, I would want it to be done Thursday or Friday. And that's it.
Get up there, run a game, and then
get up
relax.
There, run again, then relax the rest of the time.
Yeah, I ran a game at one of the early Towers of Gygax. Mm-hmm. I didn't run that long. I mm-hmm. ran like
1 hour, wasn't it?
Yeah,
an hour.
It was
yeah.
Short. And I tell you what, I'm exactly what you mm-hmm. just obsessed about it.
Well, yeah.
Until I got in, played it. I think everybody had a good time.
Yeah.
But
now you had to come up with your room, right, for Tower of Gygax?
Yeah, it was, and I'd have to check. Tower Gygax actually has a Facebook page, and you could go on and look at it. And I think they might be trying to do one again this year for Gen Con. I don't think they did one last year.
No, they did one last year.
Yeah, but
it's
year
24
before.
Hour. I mean,
yeah.
Well, they try to run 24 hours, and the way they try to run it is getting people in, just rotating people in 12 at a time, and you sit there. And well, the way it was done when I did it, there were 6 people at the table or 8 people at the table.
Probably 8.
Yeah, maybe an 8. And they had sort of replacement players. And the rule was, look, just kill off players so the players sitting behind them can step in. And so you had 2 of everything, 2 clerics, 2 fighters, 2 magic users. And you would just kill people. And it was okay because as soon as you killed somebody, they would sit back and then that person sitting behind them would jump in. Mm-hmm. They'd be on deck and they'd jump right in. They'd start playing. And you just go through and you try to put an objective. And it was a weird kind of, mechanic. The way they set it up was, you know, you want everybody to have fun, you want to rotate it quickly, but you want to have an objective. If they win the room, they get a ribbon kind of thing. You know, so a lot of sort of criteria you want to meet for the game to be successful. And so we, it really, I had to do my own room, and they everybody contributed a room, and you could contribute a room. Or run a game, or you could contribute more than one room and run more than one game. But everybody, you know, I think tried to contribute a room and tried to run a little bit, and they put all the rooms into a binder. So your room was in a binder. So if you want to show up and run, all you had to do was flip through the binder, find a room, and you could just run it. And it had to be one page down and dirty, so somebody could just look at it for a few minutes and say, okay, this is the room, and just go. Had to be sort of that simple too. It's kind of tough to fit everything into that one into those criteria. So, but yeah, and it I think it turned out well, and
but yeah, it turned out well. But you were thinking about it
the
whole
entire
time,
and I've told Todd this before. I said, you know, I think about running games all the time, but mm-hmm. you know, when I want to run a game, if I want to run a game at Gen Con, you know, I want to bring. It's either minimal for like Burning Wheel, Burning Empires.
Or go all out.
Or go all out where I have.
Like the Pyramid?
Like yeah. The Pyramid that,
Savage World game.
That, Evil Mike was running out of that time. A couple years ago. And it was a full-blown pyramid at 4 levels, and you would just take off the levels as they worked their way down. And I mean, I didn't even play in the game. Roy played. And,
it was great.
And, Neil and I came by.
Yeah.
And we just, I mean, I just stood and watched. We took pictures of the pyramid as they went through it and just stood there and had a good time watching the game. I mean, it was a blast.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just to see that pyramid was amazing. And mm-hmm. and Mike had gotten this pyramid from a friend of his who had built it, who was an engineer, who had, it all, collapsed inside of each other, so all the pieces, like each layer was in 4 pieces, and it sort of nested within itself, so you mm-hmm. can pack it all down into the size of a napkin, I guess, the size of a magic.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I mean, it packed down really tightly,
yeah.
And it was all done on the angles and stuff of the pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
It was really cool. Really cool. There's probably pictures of it online somewhere.
Got to be out there somewhere.
But yeah, to the point Todd's making, I mean, we give him grief because we were talking to Doug, and Doug said, "Yeah, Todd said he wouldn't run in anything." We're like, "What? Where'd that come from?" And so
he didn't believe me, by the way.
No, because you should have been there. I mean, you should have seen. I mean, he's talking about running a game of this, a game of that, and a game of this. I'll tell you what I'll do. If I do decide to run, or if I can't get some games or a big empty slot, I might go sit in games on demand and just put my services out there as a GM. And
that would be bad.
Yeah, and just, you know.
I can do that.
Run some fiascos, run Dungeon World.
Well, not even that. I mean,
stuff you can do on the fly and go.
I mean, think about even a Savage Worlds little game you could do.
You could
bring a couple maps and a couple figures, and you're fine.
Yeah, you just set yourself up with some characters, give yourself an idea.
Right.
But then I would start to build it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
And I would start to overplan it.
Well, it's like the one that I had for the Savage Worlds Weird Wars that they had. I had this whole idea, and it's still in my head. I actually wrote most of it down.
You think about running that for LakeCon?
Yeah. And it all takes place during Operation Market Garden, if World War II buff. That's invasion of Holland and the lower countries, and it's the taking of bridges. And your group would be taking one of the bridges, but it's that old fear. It's that old, I guess, fairy tale that there's a troll under the bridge, and that's what you guys had to do, is go and get the troll under the bridge.
Cool. That's cool.
So
I was about to go.
Yeah.
No, that's cool.
The whole idea is that, you know, everybody else is doing what they're doing during that battle, but your special group had to go and kill the troll because that's the only way they could take the bridge.
Wait, would we have tanks and guns and bazookas?
You would probably have.
But so does the troll.
No tanks.
Guns and bazookas?
Oh, yeah, guns and bazookas.
I'm down. Let's do that.
Yeah.
What did Joe tell you that I called him the other day?
Mm-mm.
I was driving. I almost called you or Roy. I was driving. I was like, I got to talk to somebody about this. But I never called Joe. I'll call Joe because I want to do a Savage Worlds Deadlands Hell on Earth sort of based on Death Race 2000. And I was trying to figure out
how to... Just so you can use those cars you got?
Yes.
Of course it is.
Of course. I've got these perfectly scaled cars and they... I was thinking...
I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking doing like four teams of two, and every team has a driver, and then every team has somebody else. And you have like one car that's like a fast car, like Tracy,
Ullman?
Oh, not Ullman. Who's the singer? You've got a fast car. I've got a ticket.
Chapman,
thank you. So anyway, Tracy Ullman. And so anyway, but I've got...
Oh, Mickey, you're so funny.
Okay, so I've got a fast car, I got another car, I got like a Bigfoot, and like, I'm thinking like a semi. And so each, like the semi's slow, but it's got a lot of armor. The fast car is fast, but doesn't have a lot of armor, right. You know. And so each one has its ups and downs. And I'm thinking at the start of the game, you have your team, and you're handcuffed to your teammate. You're prisoners, and you're escaping from a prison, and you have to get from the prison area to the city where there's the arena.
Wasn't this a TV show on Fox?
Maybe. And so you have to get to a car. You have to find...
Showed three episodes and canceled it.
Drive. Nathan Fillion was in it.
Was that
really good,
really?
Too.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So... You're handcuffed, you have to get your vehicle, and then you just start, and then you drive. And I was thinking you have to have, you know, an adventure, you know, you have like the first encounter there, like in the garage where you get your vehicle. And you pick the vehicle like right there in the moment. Here you go. Go. And, you know, sort of like the cornucopia thing in, what's the thing with Jennifer
Hunger
Lawrence?
Games?
Hunger Games. You know, you show up, go.
You mean Battle Royale?
Oh, stop it. Running Man? Running Man, anybody? The '80s,
eighties.
The book.
I never read the book.
Oh,
I don't. Better. I don't read.
That was a good book.
Is there a Kindle version?
Yeah.
Oh well.
So anyway,
Stephen King books except for Rage are available.
Why not? Oh, I know why. Not Rage.
He took Rage out.
Yeah.
So the point was, I was calling Roy, Joe, and I was like, I want everybody to sort of work as a team. you know, up until the arena, and then they can either fight with themselves or fight the big corporation or whoever, and have, and I don't know how it's going to end or what's supposed to happen, but that's what I have in mind. That's what I want to do. And we talked about it for a little while, and I still, and it's vexing me. I'm vexed. I'm greatly vexed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
On the last Smelling Jack podcast, they were talking about one of the games that the guy's going to run for a convention coming up, and it was Savage Scooby-Doo.
Nice.
And how to, he was trying to
see,
figure out how
Doug's
to
got it. Doug's,
do
no, Doug's thought it through.
You should roll randomly to see which arm is handcuffed.
Why?
I'm the awesome driver, but I'm left-handed.
Oh, I was going to say you're handcuffed until you get to the car. But once you get in the car and start the car up, the cuffs fall off.
Like magic?
Yeah. No, like electronics. Of course, I guess if you're primitive enough.
It's magic.
It could be magic.
It just could be.
This is my boomstick.
Do you believe in magic?
All out of bubble gum.
Okay, so anybody want to talk about anything geeky that they've been nerdy that they've been doing? I don't want to say what you've been doing geekified. God, I missed that podcast.
Which one?
Geek.
Geeks On?
No. They did the shirts.
They did the shirts
years ago. You could buy the shirts. They were selling. They sold their shirts, but they had a podcast that went around. The Kingfish
Geeks Label.
Yeah. Man, I miss them.
I do.
I tell you,
it was a good podcast.
You guys, I know probably all of you. What is it? The Dork Tower series.
Yeah.
I actually just started reading that. Is that the one that's serialized?
Dork Tower's
not serialized.
Oh, you mean the cartoon?
Yeah.
The comic book.
Yeah. What's the
with Kowalczyk?
Order of the Stick is what you're talking about. That's the serialized one.
I'm trying to remember one. It's where the...
Hey, tell us about your wife watching Darkness Rising.
Yeah, I forced her to watch that. And,
God, don't you love your wife?
I made her watch Gamers several years ago after we watched it because I thought it was the...
I still think it's
great.
It's funny.
It's great, but the only... I mean, the downside of it...
That story? Can I tell...
Please. Oh, yes. Go ahead.
Well, everybody was there. Were you there when we went and saw Gamers and Todd was there? Oh. All right. Well, we hadn't seen Todd in years, right? And we ran into him on the floor at Gen Con. This was, what, 4 years ago?
2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
God, we're
This will
old.
Be our seventh Gen Con together.
And
yeah!
And we had already done, like, three before that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on the floor. I see Todd. We're like, ah! It was great reunion. Four before that. Well,
I had done four before that.
Was that worth interrupting?
Get on with the story.
Okay, so.
Hey, if your stuff was worth interrupting earlier, yes.
You've got the mute buttons. Yeah. So anyway, we told Todd. Todd was there and he was about to leave. I mean, he was about to leave that day and we said, no, hang out with us, stay, crash in our room, whatever you gotta do, just hang out.
I was making one last trip through the floor.
The dealer floor.
And then I was getting out, and this was Friday?
I think it was Friday afternoon. And we just happened to run into each other. And so he stayed, because you had some friends who didn't show up and flaked out on you.
Oh, yeah.
And we're doing the same thing for Phil this year because we want to make sure he shows up.
Okay.
Because he wants to come, but his friends always flake out on him. So he's like, well, you come with us, we're solid.
Right.
And so he's coming. So anyway, that night we went to see Gamers. They were the dead gentlemen were doing a showing of Gamers, and it was kind of a fun cult thing to do in an auditorium. And Todd had never seen it. And if you haven't seen Gamers, you need to see it.
Definitely.
And,
absolutely.
And so we're sitting there, and Todd's watching this. And you can just see the look on Todd's face. He's like, I'm tired. What are we watching?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you drag me to?
Because at that point, Todd... Yeah, forget it. Todd was a Magic player at that point, and he had done RPGs, but anyway, he wasn't. We're there, and we're watching, and it's the point in the movie, and spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie, it's a bunch of college kids sitting around in their dorm playing D&D, or a D&D-esque game.
Right.
And, it sort of jumps back and forth between them and their characters in the game. Sort of like the same conceit that's in Game Night, but it's gods and stuff. And read Game Night.
Wow, you actually brought Game Night into it.
I did. Good book. Read it. So anyway, we're watching it, and the mage dies, and the GM turns to the players, and he says, "Now, Your mage has just been killed. You got a new mage here. The player brings in another mage.
You're outside a dungeon where there's the ghouls that have just attacked you and all this other
and
stuff.
And it's terribly scary. So I want you to role play this. I want you to role play it. And they turn to the guy and they go, "What? Who are you?" He's like, "Who are you?" I was like, "I'm so-and-so the mage." And they go, "Well, you look trustworthy.
Want to join us?
You want to join us?" And he just steps right into the same place in their line, their marching lineup, as the where the other mage was.
That's the part where he got
Ed Todd starts.
I lost.
Wait a minute. Now, before then was the. I thought the part before that was even funnier. The part wasn't that. That part that you're just talking about, the wizard part, came after the.
I want to steal his pants.
Yeah.
Oh, and the Stroganoff, and yeah. No, I thought the one where I remember him losing it was where he says,
"You seem trustworthy." I lost it,
and it got to the point where, I mean, Todd was laughing so loudly and so hard, everybody in the auditorium was laughing with Todd,
right.
You know, because he just sort of and it was hilarious.
I seem to recall we were in the front row too.
Yeah.
It was the funniest
of
thing.
Like a 500-seat auditorium. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyway. See gamers. But anyway, so your wife.
So I get her to watch Gamers, and this was a couple years ago. And she liked it, and she thought a couple of the spots were funny. When they were sitting outside they're in like a riverbank, and he wants to knock them out. And they wind up killing him, and you know.
That's how the mage dies.
Yeah, that's how the mage dies, yeah. So she thought that was funny, and then.
I'm freaking dead, dude.
Yeah. The "you seem trustworthy." I mean, she thought it was funny, but unless you've played, you just don't get that. But then I got her to see Darkness Rising, which is the sequel to it. A lot of the.
Same actors.
Yeah, same actors. There's one, two. It's two of them, I think, is the only ones in there.
No, well, they have a.
Well, because Mark comes back in a cameo.
There's a few. There's like three or four of them that are in there, and they make appearances. Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. So I told her, I said, you know, I told my wife she would like this one more just because, number one, is better production value. Number two, it's told from the perspective, a woman's perspective playing these games. And so. She the big kick that she got was the pile of dead bards. I mean, she thought that was great. She's because, you know, here's one guy, and I told her, I said, everything that you see in that, I said, happens. I said, the arguments, the whining back and forth, all that. I said, that
the character standing in the background.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The fights, the absolute blood, death, vengeance.
No, I didn't do that, actually. No, I wouldn't have done that. This is what I would have done instead. Okay.
No. On one of the Dead Gentleman Kickstarters, one of the stretch goals was a mini for a pile of dead bards.
Shut up.
No, I'm not kidding you. It was a pretty high-level stretch goal, though. But
what's the webcast they're doing now? It's
Journey Quest,
yeah. Check that out. That's pretty funny. I haven't been back to watch that for a while, but I was enjoying it.
I'm a backer.
Yeah, I need to be a backer.
I'm on page five of the list of people who are backers at the end of each episode.
Are you really?
Yeah. I would freeze frame it every single week just to see my name.
That sounds like Roy.
Wow, I didn't know you were that famous.
I paid for it.
I don't know I'm speechless. You're famous.
I paid for it.
I would freeze frame, zoom, and then print out a copy so I could magnify
it. Wasn't
that bad.
Aren't our names also in the
not the Deadlands more.
I thought they were. In the back.
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought they were. Okay. Anyway.
If they are, mine's probably under Rusak Roy.
Yeah, probably. Anyway. So what else? Doug, what you got? Anything you want to talk about? Anything on your mind?
So I was telling you last week about the awesome eBay deal for Steve Jackson's sorcery.
Yeah.
And somebody sniped it out from under me.
Yeah.
I found the spell book on Amazon, used in like new condition, for $6.
Cool.
Wow.
Isn't that the only one you needed of it?
I don't have book two. Oh. I got book one, three,
Steve
and five.
Jackson's sorcery?
Yeah.
What is that? Is that a... I don't know what that is. Maybe I missed
it. You remember
the
when Choose Your Own Adventure was at the height of coolness?
Yeah.
Right.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Really?
Way back.
Really?
Way back.
I don't, look, I've got like three or four of those books, and I don't remember it ever being
it was
the
never,
height of coolness.
It was never cool. It was just, it was cool in our circles.
Right. The height of coolness? Steve Jackson put out a set of games that was Choose Your Own Adventure, except it was dice-based.
Really?
So the book had dice printed on each page, so you could just flip randomly to a roll. But when you chose what you wanted to do, you would roll, and it would tell you what happened. And then you also had spells you could learn. And there was a spell book of spells with the effect it had on the game.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh.
Yeah, so I had the first book, the third book, and the fourth book, because I was at a going out of business sale for a bookstore, and they had them in the bin for a dollar. By the way, if you had all five books, and never in new
condition, yeah.
They're selling for $300 on eBay. Selling for $300 on eBay, not listed. Selling for $300.
So, are you just doing this to make money?
No, no. I always wanted to play the book, but I never had the spell book to do it.
And now you got the spell book.
Now I bought the spell book.
30 years later.
30 years later. Yeah. 30 years later. Yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah. Along those same lines, back in. Early 2000s, late 1990s, a trilogy came out from Wizards of the Coast, Dragonlance trilogy, called the King Priest trilogy. And it was at the time where most of the Dragonlance books, I really
was that after the time of the twins?
The story that comes out in that, it's told, the more of that history is told. Okay. It's almost like a prequel. The trilogy is almost
is
like
the
a
time
prequel.
Of the twins?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I really wasn't interested in a lot of the books, and this was one of those times where the books came out, they were low print runs, they were gone real quick. And then the news started coming out, hey, you really need to read this trilogy. So for the next 10 years, I'm looking for the stinking trilogy. I find one book.
Is it on Kindle?
No, they're still not on Kindle. I find one book 3 years ago, and it was the third book in the trilogy. So, you know, you can't read
the
third book.
Have you been to Half Price?
2 weeks ago, I go into Half Price Books. And guess what they've got?
Wow.
Volume 1 and 2. I have read both of them. I enjoyed them a lot. I've been posting on the Dragonlance boards, and everyone keeps, you know, coming in. It's like, yeah, where you at? Where you at? What's going on? It's like, oh, yeah, this is where it's going on. So it's great. It's really a good trilogy. It's one of the better ones that they that was ever written for Dragonlance. I mean,
I like Time of the Twins. That was my one.
The trilogy with the Twins trilogy, the Legacy, mm-hmm. Dragonlance Legacy, is probably the best.
Yeah.
They had a couple of trilogies later on that dealt with the Minotaurs that were really good. They were very late. But this King Priest trilogy is fantastic.
I don't know if I read that or not. I'm trying to remember.
King Priest?
I remember them talking about the King Priest and the
Probably
Twin trilogy.
Not.
But
there were a lot of books that came out after they went to what they called the Saga edition of Dragonlance, and it was called the Fifth Age, and
yeah,
a lot of the books
I didn't.
People just really weren't interested in it. They didn't tell the same types of stories. It's not, you know, the authors that
well,
wrote
they changed
them,
the world.
Yeah, they changed the world completely.
And
changed
that,
the world.
And that sort of changed the whole flavor. Of
and
it.
The authors at that time weren't Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman. They're very respected authors. Jean Rabe is one of them. She's a really good writer.
Yeah, not bad, just.
It just they weren't
different
what people
flavor.
Wanted, and so they kind of got a bad rap, and that's part of the reason I hadn't been reading them, because I really wasn't interested in that part of the story. But then they came out with this one, and I missed it, and I wasn't happy. But yeah, so now I'm on volume 3.
Sweet.
I'm excited about finishing this one.
So what's the story about?
In Dragonlance, when you first start up with the series, it's been several hundred years since what they call the Cataclysm. A cataclysm was brought about by the high cleric.
That's the fiscal we're cataclysm. Cutting that out.
The fiscal. Anyways, it's the high priest of the god Paladine, who's the god of good, okay? But he's created this imbalance, and Dragonlance world's all about balance. And at that point, before the cataclysm, everything was good. But because everything was good, things weren't so good.
Mm-hmm.
So the god sent this giant meteor down to hit the world, and then they left it. And so for the beginning of the Dragonlance series is how gods are coming back into the world. The King Priest trilogy talks about the King Priest, who's that high cleric, how he becomes the King Priest, and what he does to lead up to the fact that the meteor comes down and practically destroys the world.
And on the next episode, Roy will tell you about his character in all of these.
I don't have a character in all these. I always wanted to play Dragonlance. I was very excited to play Dragonlance.
You always
No one would run Dragonlance.
You
so
ran Dragonlance.
I ran Dragonlance.
That's right.
You sure did.
I sure did.
That when was a you, long campaign. That was, like, that was like a 5-year campaign.
Yeah, when are you going to do that again? When are you going to run Dragonlance again?
Never.
Why?
I'm never going to run it again.
Why not?
Because it's 3.5 edition for one thing. I'm not going to run 3.5 anymore.
We'll make it Pathfinder.
I could Pathfinderize it, but...
And then we'll bring the characters that we had in that and Pathfinderize them.
No, you are not nerfing my druid.
Jeff had a tremendous druid in that game.
My druid was wicked bad.
Yeah. I still have
He's a bad dude, man.
I still have the poem I forced him to write over there on the shelf.
Really?
The ode. Yeah. It's right down here. Right down here in the mug. It's the poem he had to write an ode to.
I remember writing a love ode. It was like an ode to his girlfriend or something. Let's see what this. This is embarrassing. That's what this is.
An ode to my toe.
He wrote it out on parchment or what?
Ode to Amara.
Oh, that's right. Amara.
She was an elf.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Another elf. And it's on like parchment paper here.
Sylvanas the elf. You were a wild elf.
This is terrible.
It's awful, but it's great.
All animals wild, great and small, from Sylvan land, forest or sea, none of them can resist her call. They are all helpless, just like me. The earth I tread beneath my feet, the air I breathe and life imparts, water that quenches my thirst in heat, the flame that warms my beating heart.
I don't know how rolling eyes translate.
Let me finish.
You weren't done?
There's a couple. No. Come on, I got another stanza and a couplet, so just shut up for a second and I'll be done. By day she walks on legs of two. By night she beds upon all fours. She's a shape changer. She's a druid, okay?
It sounds kinky.
Yeah, it does. It's not kinky. It's not kinky. Not kinky at all. Whatever form she takes is true. The wind kinky. Howls for her the more.
Are you done now?
Couplet.
Almost.
So close.
Huntress, leave off your quarry moon. Your praise before you. His spirit hewn.
Are you done now?
Yes, I am.
Now he's done.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, we do have one more poem
in
here.
That is so bad.
Yeah, now I want you to read Howl by Ginsberg.
Save that for next time. I'm sure our listeners will be on edge.
We got the poem that hung on the wall.
No, we don't have to read that. Well,
who did that one?
Leave them wanting more, Roy. God,
what's that?
Bad.
How long does it take you to frame something?
Ends. Why,
framing's real quick. Hanging, that takes a forever.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I got a map out there that's still hung. I got the one that you gave me I haven't been able to hang.
I know. That's why I'm wondering where it is.
It's right there.
Still in the tube.
Still in the tube. I've got a signed Codex Alera map out there that I haven't hung yet.
Speaking of hanging things, did anybody see the news about Zimbabwe and CNN?
Are we millionaires now?
You have more. I'll guarantee you have more money in your pocket than Zimbabwe does. The government of Zimbabwe came out today and said they have $213 in the bank.
Oh no, they got more than that.
That's it.
In my pocket?
Okay, now wait a minute. We got to go back here a little bit.
Debit card count?
A few years ago for Christmas, Doug made us all millionaires by
billionaires. You're a billionaire.
Billionaires by purchasing billion-dollar notes from Zimbabwe.
Which were like, 8 cents a piece or something crazy?
It cost more to frame them.
it cost me more to frame them. They're banknotes, and it's an expired series, so they're not worth anything.
Right.
But
what?
I'm sorry to burst your bubble. At the time when they were worth something, the $500 billion note was worth about $3,000 U.S.
$500 billion?
That's $500 billion, right?
It's hanging on the wall.
So it's not worth anything?
Oh, well, yeah, I paid $3 for it.
It's barely worth the paper it's printed on.
I'm going to read my poem again.
The frame was $5, by the way, so that's why I said the frame was worth more than
it's
the bill.
It's a very nice frame, though.
But it looks great hanging on my wall.
Yes, it looks great.
Those are frames specifically for, like, businesses when they hang up their
first dollar
bill.
Yeah.
That's what I got them for.
It's got a lot of art hanging up here for a small room. Was that quotations? What's wrong with you? That's a genuine piece of art over there on the wall.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I bought some of this for you. It's
what, the
art.
One?
Yeah, I get that one. Yeah, the extremely purple Lord of the Rings print.
Now, I did find it funny that...
On like black velvet.
Black velvet. Purple velvet.
Is that Elvis?
That's Elvis.
Thank you very much.
I think the dogs playing poker really adds some atmosphere to the room.
That's what you need. You need to hit... Yeah, go ahead.
One of the guys in our other gaming group didn't know who Larry Elmore was, but he's been playing underneath a Larry Elmore print for the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Who's Larry Elmore?
Even signed. Look at that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know who he is.
Oh, it's great. That print was $10 because he didn't.
It says $10. $10
up
in the corner.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like the coloring of it, so he wouldn't sell it for the normal full value, which is $40, I think it was. So
it's awful blue.
It is blue.
It is blue.
It's very blue. It's like Larry Elmore's blue period.
But it's the full Dragonlance group.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized today, down here on the log, the magic book, it's got the night blue binding.
Yeah.
That's very important in the story.
It's not Fistin, it's...
It's Fistin Dantilus' spell book.
I thought it was the other guy's book. Fistin Dantilus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raistlin got it in Zach Troth.
Mm.
Remember?
Yes.
Present the staff boldly.
You should just say, hit the dragon with the staff. Present it boldly. Look at the staff. I mean...
It's been years since I read that series, but what was the night? Was it Sturm? Was the night?
Sturm was the night.
Okay. And he's not in that. That's the only one.
Yeah, he is.
Where is he?
He's back.
Oh, I see him.
With the mustache.
All right. All right.
Lorana, Kitiara, mm-hmm. Sturm, Tannis is there with the beard.
You need to get the Dragonlance cartoon. Show that to your wife.
Oh my God. That's... No.
I have not seen that since I was 12 or 13, and I will not see it.
No. The Dragonlance cartoon came out like 5-6 years ago.
It wasn't even 5-6 years ago.
Oh, no, the Dragonlance. I thought you meant the Dungeons & Dragons cartoon.
Oh, no, that's fun to watch, though.
No, it's bad, but it's fun. No.
I got it out
of I have wonderful memories of that, and I like to keep them.
No, they're still wonderful.
We're going to go upstairs
in
5 minutes.
Introduce them to your daughter. You know, just listen to the music that they play when they do the title.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Barbarian, thief, acrobat.
I don't remember the rest of it.
My daughter's constant question when we're watching something on TV.
I am your guide in the world of Dungeons & Dragons.
Is this live or is this recorded? And I'm,
if it's a cartoon, it's recorded.
No, but I mean, it happens to be whatever we're watching.
If it's YouTube, it's recorded.
I said, honey, we're watching this on DVR, and she'll go, all right, fast forward through the commercials.
You know, do this now. It's funny. My wife does that. She'll say, fast forward. And I go, she says, fast forward. And I go, here, fast forward. And she'll go, oh.
Wow. My wife does the same thing.
Welcome to the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.
Well, I made,
no.
If your son likes it.
He does. He does. He really enjoys it. And it's got female characters, strong female characters, a little girl. It's good.
Well, not the thief.
Yeah, she's kind of whiny.
Wishy-washy and whiny, yeah. But the acrobats.
Sheila.
Sheila.
No, Sheila's the thief. What's the acrobat? Diana.
Me. Diana.
My daughter got all kinds of, Legos for her birthday and for Christmas because they're about 6 weeks apart. And so we still haven't put all the Legos together from her birthday, much less Christmas. So every few days she brings a box and, here, Daddy, let's put these together. So the one that she brought is one that I got her, which was a Lord of the Rings set of Shelob.
Oh, I got, yeah.
Have you put that together?
Yes.
That's cool.
It's a pain in the ass.
It is. But that spider is great.
It is. It's pretty neat.
my young boy, my young man, actually has a little vignette set up with Shelob hanging from the string.
Oh,
and
it's cool.
The way it works is
it's got a little winch built into the back part of it.
And it's actually got friction built into it.
Yeah.
So when you turn it, it'll support the weight of the, and you turn it and it'll support the weight of the spider, and it's got the legs.
Yeah. He showed it to me.
Oh, okay.
Well, he showed me the box. He hadn't put it together yet.
Well, no, it's together, and he's got it hanging down, and there's a couple of guys, like a Gondorian guard or whatever, a couple of guys down there on horses, and he was telling his mom the story of what was going on. The spider's coming down, he's going to eat this guy, and this guy's coming up to help, and it's a cool set.
Yeah.
We got home, and one of the legs, one of the hinges was broken.
Mm-hmm.
It snapped, and so I found another piece that would work and stuck it on there so we could put Shelob back together.
Well, I have to say.
I like that spider.
Yeah. In all respect to the Lego company, I know none of those people are listening, but, they're great. If you're missing a piece, you just call them up, you give them the piece number, they mail it to you.
Oh yeah. Lego's great.
Yeah.
I love Lego. If I bought one toy for the, I mean, if I had to buy one toy for the rest of my son's life, it probably will be. Legos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, hands down.
Legos.
Your son.
Play well.
Getting back to the original topic there, though.
Was there an original topic? What was the topic?
No, a minute ago, before you went on your Lego tangent.
Hey.
The Dragonlance cartoon.
Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about
it? You want to watch it once. Let's put it this way. It's got a great soundtrack.
Well,
does it?
Yeah, the soundtrack's pretty good.
I'm a visually based human, and the
animation's bad.
Well, of course the animation's
really
bad.
And it's kind of gross.
It's a little inappropriate, let's put.
Yeah, there are some inappropriate.
Well, it's like the first episode of, what was it, Sesame Street. When the girl gets lost. She gets lost, and some stranger comes up to her and says, "Hey, are you lost?" And she goes, "Yeah." She says, "Well, come on to my house, and we'll get you set up in the house." Total stranger.
That was the 50s. This is a different time.
No, it's the 60s.
I know, it was like 69.
But yeah.
70s.
So she goes.
1969 when it started. That's a year older than me.
Yeah. Is it 69 or 70?
69. It started the same year I was born.
Okay. I thought it started in 70, but okay. Go ahead.
So she goes to the house. She has dinner with the people, stays there most of the night, and then calls her parents. And then she just walks back.
Sunny day, chasing the clouds away.
Clowns away.
First episode, November 10th, 1969.
See? I was 1 month and 2 days old.
Who was the first Muppet?
The bear.
The dog.
The dog. That's
Ralph.
It. Ralph. Yeah, in the 50s.
That was for IBM.
Yeah, it was in the mid-50s.
Didn't he do like cigarette commercials too,
yeah.
I think? Yeah.
Those are great. You can find them on YouTube every now and then.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ralph. My doctor says to get camels.
Yeah.
Filters.
On that note. Jason, what do you got? Anything else?
Nope, you all said enough.
Jason's been a little quiet because I've been hogging the microphone over here. You sure, Jason?
I'm good.
Okay. Jason's good.
That's why he's known as the best color man in baseball.
Great movie. Great, great movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know who plays a good color man? It's Jason Bateman in Dodgeball.
Haven't seen it.
Really?
Oh,
Jason Bateman
great.
Is Jason Bateman is worth the price of admission for that whole movie. He is amazing. Everything he says in that movie is gold. Well,
yeah.
He's blindfolded. Let's see how this strategy works out for him.
His new movie
right
doesn't
in his
look
beak.
So
beak.
His new movie doesn't look so good.
Oh yeah, what's her name?
Identity Thief or something like that.
She's funny. I don't know.
Yeah, no, they're both funny people, but it's like it doesn't look good.
Yeah, I wonder. He's funny though.
Oh yeah,
and she's hilarious.
What was his sitcom?
Arrested Development.
No,
wait,
his
way back?
First sitcom back in
it's
the 80s.
Your Move.
That was great. I loved that show
with the dregs. of humanity.
Oh my god.
That is a memory.
Did you, do you remember the dregs of humanity on It's Your Move?
I don't even know what It's Your Move is.
Really?
Oh,
you'd remember if you saw them.
Yeah,
you'd remember
it.
It was on for like a season, I think. Maybe two.
Maybe two.
But what happened was, and that was the season finale, they never finished it. He had taken, they had to get a band.
Oh, yeah. I remember this now.
They had to put together, I found it on YouTube, that's why I remember it like this. But they found a band, they had to get a band, and so what they did was, they got a bunch of skeletons, like from the science department, and just dressed them up, and stuck them up on the stage. And
did them with marionettes.
And, they started to get famous. People loved them, and so they had to do interviews and stuff, and it was, the guy dating his mom is apparently a reporter, and he was giving him grief about it, and then he started to ask him, like, well, can I interview him and stuff? But,
well, his sister.
Because he didn't know.
His sister was acting like she had.
Jason Bateman was
been a bit naughty with one of them.
Really? Yeah. I do remember that. Yeah. Jason Bateman, who was what, probably 12 or 13?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Classic.
The premise of the sitcom was him being mean to the guy dating his mom. He didn't think he was good enough for her. And so he would do all kinds of stuff. Played by, I can't remember the actor's name, but it was
the same guy that was on Married with Children.
Married with Children, Marcy's first husband. The next door neighbor.
Yeah, who also was the replacement for Ron Howard on Happy Days. I think that's right.
No, that was Marcy's second husband. He wasn't the replacement. He was Fonzie's business partner when they bought Al's.
Is that who he was?
But that was Marcy's second husband.
Okay.
Good Lord.
Wheelhouse, baby. Wheelhouse. I know my TV.
Yes. Okay.
And on that note?
You know, it's funny. It's funny. But I think it's, oh, yeah, Jason Bateman, 12:30, yeah, there's a show, and I'm thinking, this is as nerdy as it's going to get. No.
And then Roy takes it to another level.
It can get worse. No. It can get a lot worse.
No, Roy.
Oh, here you go. Nerdy?
No, please. Please, the
CW is doing a pilot for a relaunch of The Tomorrow People.
You know what? I just realized something. I just realized something. In all the damn episodes we had of Burning Empires, and in the months and months, and it seems like months that we sat here and played.
At least one of us was always asleep.
No. We're always doing what we're doing. Doug's doing his maneuvers. Jason's doing his. We're doing all this stuff, and Roy's not doing a damn thing.
Nope.
All I had to do was bring up a TV show. That's all I had to do. Your character is a TV show. And he would have talked. That's all I had to do.
My problem was I came up with a good character concept that I just couldn't I couldn't wrap my head around.
And we all liked your minion more than we liked you.
Go ahead, tell him. Tell him. Let's bring it up again.
That I'm out of the game. Y'all been playing the same thing for the.
Yeah, we went on to play.
Yeah. That's so awesome after that.
Yeah, we met on Tuesdays. So
just not freaking
Wednesday at 5.
We're actually recording with Phil.
That's right.
He does the mixing. It's amazing.
He does original music for each
that's
one.
Right.
We've got a soundtrack. We're about to release it on eBay.
Ukulele.
Yeah, we got a soundtrack. We're gonna release it on iTunes. It's amazing. Yeah, it's all on ukulele
and harmonica,
tambourine and harmonica.
I've been playing the triangle. It's brilliant.
Ding. The No, but the funny, I get the feeling that Roy wanted to wrap up.
Well, I mean, how long are we going to go? We can keep going.
I thought the funny thing was that
people stopped
when
listening
we
20 minutes ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think the poem was
the poem
yeah,
was it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, if they got to the poem, we started talking about it.
Oh, Roy, we jumped the shark at the poem. Okay.
No,
we did.
We jumped the shark at Gen Con talking about where the hell the hotel was. Seriously, if you're listening to that, I apologize.
Okay, no.
Seriously, I was trying to figure out how to get that conversation to stop. I wish I would have spoken up sooner.
This is why it becomes important, because one year I did forget, and the thing went live at noon, and at 12:30, Jeff calls me and goes, how's the room going? And I'm like, oh, string of expletives. And we ended up staying. Was it 5 blocks away from the convention center?
Oh, that's
it was
that's,
right next to the fountain.
Yeah,
it was around the corner.
Yeah,
from the fountain.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah,
I'd walk almost walked past.
We could see the fountain, I think, from our room.
Yeah, we could.
From the back, yeah.
Way.
It wasn't that far away, but man, I caught grief.
Yeah, because I always wondered, why did we stay so daggone far away?
I forgot that part.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the Petals Around the Rose year.
That was Petals Around the Rose.
Was that Petals Around the Rose?
Yeah, that was Petals Around the Rose year.
Petals Around the Rose.
Yeah.
Okay. And I do believe in fairies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Game stories, we can't explain.
Yeah, we could. Find us at Gen Con, buy us a beer, we'll tell you whatever you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Gen Con. We'll be at Gen Con. Different location. But, hey, you know what? The Omni also has seats out front of it.
Yeah, they've got a great lobby. I mean, I like their lobby a lot. I mean, it's nice.
It's very warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's comfortable enough to take your shirt off, right, Doug?
High traffic, too.
We met Bob Salvatore there.
That should have been the last year we played Munchkin.
That should have been it. Munchkin was never, well, no, because we did have the, you know, I do believe in fairies game wasn't too bad. It started off rough, but it got fun. It started off real rough.
Yeah, it did.
Because we were all going to kill somebody.
No, the worst year was the year that we played in the second floor of the Marriott, outside of True Dungeon.
Well, yeah, before it moved. Yeah.
After True Dungeon, True Dungeon had shut down.
True
for
Dungeon,
the night.
We were playing. God, what was there? 12 of us or something like that.
Oh, yeah. It took an hour to go around the table once.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was bad. It was real bad.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it's,
we're all still
it's a
friends
tough game
mostly.
To...
Yeah,
not really. There were some. Things were broken in that game that will never be right again.
Well, there were people that we didn't know playing too.
Yeah.
Oh sure, come on, sit down.
Who did that? Did I do that? Or did my brother do that?
You did that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, see, what happens is when you got beer and you're drinking and playing a card game, and there's nothing to do for an hour. Well,
you
keep
drink
drinking.
Beer.
Yeah.
And then somebody comes up and goes, you know, I don't think I'm going to finish this growler. And I'm like, I'll take it. I think I was dozing off between turns.
Mm-hmm.
No, you weren't.
Passing out?
No, you weren't.
What was I doing?
Getting louder. You went to 11.
Did I?
Consistently.
Wow.
Who won that year? Did you?
No.
James.
No, James won.
James.
And then I won the year after, and that was the last time we played.
Yeah.
No, Hobie won the last year.
No, I
won the last
one. He won the last one.
He's got statue.
I gave it back to Jeff.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
It was Jeff's statue.
Hobie had it.
Hobie had it once.
Hobie had it 1 year. That was the year
at the
5 block away hotel.
Yeah.
Because we played in their lobby. And that's when Roy did this little dance.
No, it wasn't me.
That was Eric.
Eric, that's right. That's right.
I do believe I do.
I do believe.
Well, that's the fun part about the game. You get rules in there. There's no way that
public
person can do that in the public.
You know, the strangest thing is that I remember that hotel.
We're
when we go past it,
too,
I remember that hotel. I remember that we stayed there. But I also remember being so god-awful drunk that I couldn't tell you what floor we stayed in, what our rooms look like. I mean, I don't even know where the damn elevator is in that building.
I remember there's a pool. There's a pool like on the sixth floor?
Third, I think it was. It was lower down. I thought it was lower down.
I could be wrong. No, I thought it was higher.
Was it higher up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because remember we walked outside and we were standing there and we were checking out the skyline.
Yeah, we were. It looked like it should have been a little bit more of a festive atmosphere out by the pool. They should have had more places to sit, you know, a place to hang out and just talk.
Yeah, so, because that's what they want. They want a bunch of gamer nerds hanging out by the pool.
Well, they should.
We don't swim. We're afraid of water.
But we spend money.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, I still got $10 for that stupid plastic cup over there that I got booze in at the hotel last year? It's sitting up there at the top. Remember the first night? Oh, no, you weren't there.
That was the butterbeer.
The butterbeer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I had a drink of it, and I was like, man, I can't believe you're spending $10 on this.
Yeah, it was awful. That was bad.
Have some bourbon.
Here's some more. I had a growler.
Mm-hmm.
I was filling up the plastic cup with my growler.
Yeah, because you dropped your glass on the way back from Scotty's. He was so proud of himself. Look, I got a glass.
It happened.
It had a bunny on it.
Roy,
on that note,
Roy, wrap it up.
On that note, everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good night, folks.
I'll overdub y'all.
There you go. Our thoughts on Gen Con hotels, Savage Saturday nights, and Dragon Child dice bags, and a few other things. Next week, we're going to go take a quick detour into Deadlands Noir, a Savage World setting. Remember, comments, critique, and general feedback can be left in our voicemail, 502-4141-RU, that's 502-4141-766, or send us email, roy@rusackgamers.com. Finally, for legal reasons, I must remind you that you've been listening to an actual play podcast by the Rusack Gamers. The production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0, unported license.